Turn off your laptop. We're on staycation.
I'm on TotalWine.com. They have so many rosés, chardonnays, and proseccos. It feels like a real vacation.
Wondrous selection, helpful guides, ridiculously low prices. Total Wine and more.
All this week on NBC4, new products to new technology. Susan Hogan is showing you how local restaurants are changing the way we dine in and take out in this new world. Tonight at 6.
A new twist on outdoor eating.
A lot of it is creating flexibility.
How one local restaurant is making their outdoor space mobile, giving you plenty of sunshine and social distance for a stress-free meal.
It's all part of restaurant revitalization. Tonight at 6 on NBC4, working for you.
It's the LGBT Chat Podcast, a space for LGBTQ friends and allies to share personal stories, current events, and life endeavors. Hosted by Aida Ramirez.
Hey friends, you're listening to the LGBT Chat Podcast. Joining us tonight, we have a special show. We have Jen Kay, we have Jamal, and we have Adrian. I met you guys last year, right? The last year?
Early.
You guys are doing...
Yeah.
Must be last year.
Last year.
Exactly a year ago, we shot the first one. Not the plan, but the first one. Was this weekend. 1 year ago.
Because I feel like it was very cold when I met you that night. When I went to pick you up.
That was January.
That was January. That was this year. Well, that feels like 2 years ago. A lot has happened since January.
This is the longest year ever.
And in any event, so my girlfriend was participating in one of your sketches. Can you tell us a little bit about that particular sketch?
I'll let you start, Adrian.
Common good.
The plan.
So what is it? How did it come about?
So I wrote this, partly is sort of trying to feel very communal with my neighborhood and my community. But me and Jamal, Jamal is really, really big and into doing comedy. And he's produced a couple of comedy shows before that. And we know a lot of comedians. And I've always loved comedy and I like write funny things. And so I decided hey, why not? Let me try, pull out some of my old scripts and comedic scripts and put it in a new setting. And we decided that we wanted to do a sketch comedy, but set in the same coffee shop every time. So we wrote about five scripts and we budgeted for two, and that's how the plan came together for the plan. That's how it started, and then we chose out of the five our two favorites, and they're very different. So the basic is sketch comedy, funny thing happens in the same coffee shop in this one corner in Harlem, and that's basically
such
the premise.
Cool concept.
Yeah, a little premise about, that's all the premise is. So always the same coffee shop, always the same corner in Harlem. And we have which is not too far-fetched, we live in Harlem, the weirdest characters come out after dark.
Word.
Yeah.
Understatement.
Well, let
me tell you, sorry. I've driven through there many a times because my friend lives nearby, her sister lives nearby. And on two occasions, there was a police chase.
Wow.
That sounds about right.
You're right.
That's probably why our first two skits included criminals, right?
Exactly.
And police and criminals.
The first skit which we wrote was Deep Cover, was about two cops who one has gone way too deep into his persona that he has sort of lost. He's a little bit Donnie Brasco-ish, but the joke here is that he's not in any kind of crime family or something. He's in Deep Cover at a Comic-Con you know, so he's gone deep cover in a Comic-Con, and he's gone, you know, I don't know if it is the right PC word to say geek anymore, but he's gone 180 geek, you know, so I you know, which is, that's me.
There's
know,
so much I'm material a, with that, though.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big comic book geek. I mean, I've been participating in Comic-Con since I was like 15, you know, all over the States. So I know that life. So I was like, oh, man, yeah, let me write something about this. And I think a lot of the people that like the first sketch that we did was my friends from the comic book world. Everybody else sort of like, what in the world is this?
I have to be honest, and Jen, don't get upset. But yeah. When she first told me that she was participating with you guys about with, you know, on this sketch, she's told me about many things before. And like, it feels like they're hyped up and then it happens and I'm like, oh, okay. It wasn't really like a big deal. But when I saw this was so cool. This was like, so like everything over like anything that I had imagined, like it was so well produced and it was so well, like the quality of also like the video, it was just so cool. So I feel privileged that I got
I have a
recording of it.
Okay. Oh, wow.
So what did you think when you came to pick her up on set and you saw everything going on? Did it look like it would be a finished product at the end of it that you liked, or it just looked like a hot mess, like a big circus going on?
It did not look like a hot mess. It looked very well coordinated. It was pretty cool.
That's all Jamal.
But you know what's funny is that I came in and I just like, I sat on a little corner where I thought I was tucked away, and I'm like, whoops, I'm right on the scene. Like, you have to move.
For me, there was a real, like, it felt like I'd never been on a set before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm like, all right, we're going to film. But then when I seen, like, you know, with the mics and you know, the camera.
The equipment,
like,
oh,
man, like, it's legit. Because even people walking by, looking in the window, like, they're looking at me like I'm somebody. They were like, oh, what's going on? They're like, yeah, we're just filming. But it was fun.
Did you ever think, oh man, this is my time to get out of this?
No, during rehearsal, well, when you first told me, you know, I have to act like thuggish.
Yeah.
Tough. Like, I mean, yeah, everybody's like, oh, you know, you're tough. But I'm like, you know, soft tough. I don't know. But when you were like, yeah, you know, act tough, I'm like, you know, because of my friends at work, that was like, yo, they want me to act gangster. Like, you ain't gangster, you know, the guys that work. I'm like, what? I was like, and then, but like you said, in rehearsal, but it was different once you said action.
Yes.
You
know,
it was fun.
But that was part of the charm that why we chose you and why we really liked you was, you know, you're not supposed to, those two characters, yours and Arya, they're not tough. They're not tough. They're pretending to be tough. And, you know, so that's the whole joke. They think they're street. They think they're tough, but you know they're not. So that really comes out really well. You know, I'm trying to be tough. You gotta be scared of me, but you're not. You know, you're like,
yeah. I gotta tell you a funny story. Oh, she kept saying schematics, right? And I'm like, English is my second language, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, schematics. I'm like, that sounds like you just extended the word scheme into like schematics. So I'm watching Blacklist. I'm binging Blacklist on Netflix, and somebody says schematics, and I'm like, oh, it's a real word.
It's a real word.
Like, I don't know.
It's an actual word.
We create a new one. We call it schemize it.
That should be on a t-shirt, I'm telling you.
You're right. Schemize
it, but that should be in the t-shirt, right? Schemize it.
Yeah. Schemize it.
Maybe not yet, because Trump might capitalize on that. Yeah. They schemize.
I got a backstory to that. This was like a few years ago. I can't even remember which movie set I was on, and I was design. I'm most of the time I'm the concept artist on those, or concept designer. And I think it was like Kings for NBC. This was probably like 15, 16 years ago. And people were like coming to me, go like, Adrian, what's the schematics for the next scene? Where was this action? And I finally go like, I'm gonna schemize this now. And they're like, that's how schemize. How I end up using schemize, you know. So that's how schemize it.
Schemize about it.
Yeah. So that's.
Everybody
like
that
part.
Yeah.
Jamal. So what are you up to now?
Well, COVID has definitely been a slow time as far as.
It's exactly his COVID.
But luckily, I just
interrupted all of us.
Yeah, but at the moment, I'm working on a promo for a nonprofit organization that is coming out pretty good, I think. And I'm actually have a deadline by tomorrow to have it done, so it's in the editing process right now. So that's what I got going on. Nothing fancy with like a big set and comedy and things like that. This is
not at all.
Yeah, this is. I enjoy it though. I like sitting down, you know, interviewing people and talking to them and, you know, getting their stories out. So I enjoy that.
Did you have things canceled because of COVID? Like, did you already have things in motion that had to be postponed?
Not really. Not so much. I mean, I think we were going to flush out Common Good idea a little bit more.
Yeah.
And see where that could go. But, you know, COVID came right after that, and along with some financial, you know, planning that we had to do for it. So it kind of got all held up. And
it definitely showed up at the wrong moment for Common Good, for us at least. Which is it's a
episode. Like,
yeah. I mean, we literally finished it. We just put out on YouTube just to get a feel, and while I was about ready to push it out, and COVID hit, and you know, everything changed. And for me, I actually had about 4 projects canceled immediately. So I knew, and I knew immediately, like I lost every project I had from then all the way till end of summer, which, you know, which also put a hinder on Common Good, because we self-fund Common Good. And I was hoping some of that paychecks from those projects was going to be pushed back into the next episode of Common Good. So that never happened. And unfortunately, episode 3 is not happening yet. You know, I'm saying yet because I still have faith. Maybe somehow or other we can find funding again or things turn around. But
I heard some good news. You guys won something, right, recently?
I have to apologize to the team, because one of my plans in the beginning also was to start submitting Common Good to comedy and film festivals around the world. COVID hit, a lot of the budget disappeared, and I'll be honest with you guys, I sank into kind of a depression. I'm still in kind of sort of that wave. And I just sat on my ass for a couple of months, like not moving. And then my wife goes like, you know, you need to do something just to make yourself feel better. And I was like, okay. Then I talked to Jamal and I started looking at the festivals again. So we're actually kind of late on that. But so when I start submitting all, you know, the film, not too many, because, you know, our budget is still very small. I wasn't really, to tell the truth, I didn't think we were going to get mentioned or even picked up anywhere, just because of the timing and how it is and things have been going. And seriously, I, you know, like you have all these doubts. And about 3 weeks ago, I was told we were picked to be shown on something called Flixy Network. We watched that. Me and Jamal went online, but it was kind of weird. It was the weirdest thing. So I didn't really make a big deal about it. But Common Good was actually one of the things that showed there. And then this week, I got an email saying, you won, you know, you guys have won Best Comedy Short in Madras, you know, in Chennai, which is a big, like, you know, Bollywood area. You know, I'm like, whoa,
that's Bollywood, so cool.
Like Bollywood's people like our stuff. So I'm like, you know, and I hope it was a good pick me up for everybody. I mean, I'm happy for everybody. That's definitely because
I text my mom this week, showed her the email. You know, she's in bed early.
Yeah.
4 o'clock in the morning, I'm in the bathroom. I hear my mom say, "All right, congrats." And I'm like, "What are you talking about?" Because, you know, it's the middle of the night, and I realized I said that, so she was happy for us. So I was like, "Oh yeah."
Oh man.
So Jen, So Jen, what did your people think about your performance?
You know, my mom, she loved it. She was laughing, and my brother. You didn't get to see me film that part, but you know, you liked it. A lot of people were laughing. Like at work, my friends, I was on her podcast, and afterwards she showed it to her coworker, and he was. I never watched somebody else that wasn't family or anything watch it. He was cracking up. He was crying. I was like, wow, these are like legit. He was cracking up. And my cousin, I showed it to her and I said, you know, what do you think? And she goes, it's weird because, you know, I'm not used to seeing you, you know, acting. Which how I feel about people when I see them on TV shows. And I'm like, oh, yeah. It's, you know, but it's just weird, like, to, like, you know them. So I was like, oh, well, that's a good feeling. You thought that of me because that's not me. You know, I was acting. And, you know, I haven't acted anything since. Like elementary school, cock-a-doodle-doo, and that'd be a rooster once. You know?
And she was the best rooster there was.
The best rooster on that stage, yeah.
My mom was cracking up. It was stand-up, you know, an improv, but this was like getting into a character.
In essence, you're kind of performing when you're on stage, because sometimes you're not in a good mood. Sometimes you think you're going to be doing bad. Sometimes you think like you have a lot of hecklers or whatever. And you transform into somebody else. Like at least your character does.
I mean, your persona, you know, like on stage, persona, whatever, tomato, tomato, I don't know. But, you know, like, yeah, you know, sometimes it's like times.
150 years of Children's National Hospital. 150 years of groundbreaking research. Of exceptional healthcare for kids. Of helping families like mine and yours. 150 years stronger with your help. Please give today. Visit childrensnational.org/150 years. That's childrensnational.org/150 years.
I'm having trouble hearing Jen.
Speak up, because she speaks, she's so soft-spoken.
Some of the ages are losing. But yeah, I mean, you know, it was fun. For me, it was a little, I guess, strange in the beginning, because, you know, we had, like, an extra rehearsal with me.
Yep.
And I remember after I filmed the, that scene with just the acting, Jamal's like, yo, you brung it. And then you watch it, and there's only like a couple of like seconds. And I'm like, that was like 2 minutes. I'm like, I was doing that 3 takes. Out of breath, and you know, but it was so much fun, you know.
Yeah, I remember beforehand, I think while we were getting ready, in the dressing room and all that stuff in my building. And I think Jen was like, found out there was going to be makeup.
Yeah, makeup first time too.
I've been trying to put makeup on her face for the past 3 years, just for fun.
And she was like, she was not feeling that makeup.
And what's his name? Oh my God. I forgot his name. Melvin?
The other actor?
Mel.
Melvin.
Expert
with the coffee. Because he's like, the eyeliner is the worst. I'm like, wait, oh no, they're going to go get my eye.
The coffee guy, Tyler.
Tyler. He's like, yeah, he was telling me, he's like, you ever wear eyeliner? I'm like, no. He goes, it's horrible. I'm like, oh God.
Okay.
You know, because then, you know, I mean, the guys still wear it, you know. So then he's like, so then your makeup artist, she's like, don't close your eyes. I'm like, but you can get it in my eyeball.
Your eyeball.
She's like, I'm going to be quick, but it wasn't that horrible. I trust him. I still got my eyes.
And did you notice it on camera at all when you look at it? Do you really?
Yeah.
You can tell.
Yeah, because this is all natural right here, you know?
You know, like you sort of need makeup for camera because it pops you out a little bit.
Yeah.
And it pops the character out, and that's, you know. But I'm glad you went through it. And I know, like, one of the things I you know, like, from our first experience and my first experience shooting, I noticed, like, with stand-up comedians especially, because you guys feed so much on the audience, you know, like, when you're doing stand-up, I think that was the hardest hurdle. That's one of the reasons why I wanted to do that extra rehearsal with you, because I wanted you to sort of do not need to feed from the audience, you know, because when you're shooting a film like that, or you're on set, there's no audience. Everybody has to be quiet as possible, like a mouse. So even if they're laughing like hell inside, you know, they can't let it out, you know?
That whole scene, one of the extras, after, you know, you have cut, like, he was like, yo, that was so funny. And a couple of people, I was like, oh, it was. Because you're right, because at stand-up, you're used to them laughing on the spot. So after you got cut, and everybody's like, yo, that was so funny. And I was like, oh, wow, you liked it. Like, you know, I was like, okay, it made you laugh. And then watching it afterwards, I was like, but then when you did the sound effects, oh, my gosh.
That was so brilliant. I'm glad we sat down and look at those videos and redid that part, you know, until, you know, because that part, you nailed it, you know, all those movements, the going around, and, you know, that's exactly the way I saw it in my head. I was like, damn, that was cool.
I just took the kickbox and then I learned to. But attitude,
I like to say that attitude reflects leadership. So if it came out the way you were imagining it, then you guys did a good job directing it.
That's hard to do, to get what's in your head out. Yeah. And make it look exactly like it. I mean, that's really difficult. It might be easier for you, Adrian, because you're an artist and can draw exactly what you want for people to see. But
that helped a lot. Sorry, that helped his storyboards.
Yeah,
like that did help. And like
oh, that's awesome. Yeah, because I that's the way I'm such a visual thinker. So when I direct, you know, I can see it very clearly, and I can put it down. So it, for me, it helps me, and I'm glad it helps the actors too. And mostly, it's supposed to help the DP, you know, to know exactly what I want. But you know, I'm glad that all and everybody just everybody's brought it. I think all the three of you work so well together. I think that was fantastic. You know, for the amount of time you guys actually had with each other. I thought the like you and Arya, it felt that you guys have been hanging out in that same coffee shop for years and years, you know, childhood friends, whatever. It's got that feel to it, you know. So you kind of like, you buy it. You need to buy that.
Yeah, these are homies actually schemizing something for months on end to bring it onto this professional.
Yeah,
and then
watched the timing, like when she gave me a pound, it was just like at the time it was really good with her.
Yeah, and it was really fun. Yeah, I so I'm glad. So did you find your time on set? Did you find it like stressful or relaxing or?
I guess I can't say relaxing at first because I was a little nervous my first time, and I was like, oh man, I gotta, you know, make sure I bring it. And once I started, I was relaxed, and then I got hungry.
That's good. That's the great thing about Jamal. Jamal anticipates people getting hungry like crazy. I've worked with Jamal at least on like 1, 2, 3, 4 shoots now, right? 5 shoots, maybe more. Mm-hmm. One thing Jay does is there's a lot of food on set.
Too much. Too much.
Everything, fruits, chips,
I mean, I work on big budget stuff that did not have that much food.
At the end of the night, I'm looking at it like, oh man, we could have saved money. I didn't have to buy all that food.
Those croissants, that cost money. Nah, always good.
Adrian, so you mentioned you do some artwork. So you're actually exhibiting something soon, right, in New York City?
Yes, I have two exhibitions right. One is going on right now. It's called it's basically the thing about COVID is when COVID hit, we can't do a proper gallery show anymore. So a lot of the art shows now are sort of like art installation shows. So there's a show called My Window, which is on 122nd Street and Manhattan Avenue. And every month or so, they change installation. So this month, it's about to end. I think it ends this Friday. Because of Halloween last week, it was all about horror and things like that. And, you know, if you guys know me and know my work and that Jay does, it's all about horror.
Yeah.
I mean, my paintings are very dark. So
he can get gory. Gory. You can get gory.
I can get gory, you know, and people, the curator saw it and go like, oh my God, we got to put this guy in. So, you know, they put one of my it's funny. The painting that they chose is not even a painting. It was a digital sketch that I did while watching Blacklist, I think, if I'm not wrong. I love that show, by the way. So, you know,
I'm on the second season. I just started.
You're going to love it. I've seen every single one of them. So yeah, usually every night when I watch TV, clear my brain, I have my iPad and I'm sketching and I'm drawing. You know, I draw all the time. So I did this drawing called "You Can Call Me L" from Paul Simon's song. But it's you know, like when you used to go to the meetups, they give you that little name tag, right? You could put your name down.
Oh, I miss meetups. COVID ruined meetups.
COVID ruined meetups. Yeah, that's another the other thing is like, you know, COVID ruined meetups. So I had this like alien looking crazy guy creature with a suit on with my name's L, and they like that. So they put that up, and it's actually about that big, but they blew it up. So it looked actually, wow, it looks really nice that big. Yeah. And another thing is called Art on the Avenue, which is going to take over Columbus from 68 to 72nd. I believe. No, a little bit more, 68 to 79, somewhere around there. Once I know it, I'll let you guys know, which is going to happen. It was going to happen this week, but because of the election, they push it back. One of my paintings is going to be on that show too. So all these paintings, all about people like this, about 10 artists, we have our stuff on the windows of the shops that's shut down. So all the shops that are longer there, they're going to use the window as an art installation. So one of my paintings going to be on that one too.
That's really interesting.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, so...
movies. Right, some of your work.
So yeah, I've worked. I started out as a gallery painter, believe it or not. Then I found out that I can make a living drawing for advertising and commercial, because to me it was easy. And you know, I remember when I was 22 years old. I'm in New York City, and I'm trying to sell all these paintings. You know. And nobody would even touch it with five bucks. Seriously, they look at me and yeah. And I drew something for a commercial, like literally like on a napkin, and they paid me a grand for it. I was like, oh shit!
Cha-ching!
Did you do something like? What was the commercials?
Oh my god, I can't remember. I've done all kinds of commercials in the sun, from all those car commercials. You remember those Matthew McConaughey Lincoln commercials?
I do. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I worked on almost all of them. And, you know, this is the first year I don't actually have a commercial because of COVID. But over the last 15, 20 years, you know, I've done everything from Preparation H to Viagra to, you know.
Hey, they might be calling you back. A lot of people have been sitting on their butts all year.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Have you been sitting on your ass because of COVID? Yeah.
Yeah, I've been sitting on my ass. Try Preparation H, COVID, COVID editions. So, yeah, that's how I got into filming, because we were shooting all this commercial, and then I help a bunch of friends doing indie films. And before I knew it, some of my indie friends became bigger, you know, so then I started working on bigger Hollywood stuff. I really enjoy films because I like telling stories. And I like telling stories through pictures. So it's sort of just like a easy mesh for me. That's how I got started to writing and directing. It's all this stories and visual in my head that I just need to put it out, you know.
A producer that I work with, Donna, on because I've been working with two different producers on two different pilots. Mm-hmm. But Donna, she was a judge in New York's Got Talent, and she wanted to work with me, so we wrote the pilot. And you know, we start talking, and I'll tell you guys about it, like, you know, off air. but we decided to maybe do like a mockumentary.
So, oh yeah, those are fun.
So and then I started filling in this, like, you know, that part, and you know, it became funnier. But I, you know, she said maybe she just filmed the pilot, because then sometimes you could pitch it like that.
Yeah.
So then I told her about you guys. So, you know, I have, she, you know, she started writing it, then I finished it. And to start the second episode, I'm just so, I don't know. I think I need somebody to start it for me to finish. So I'm
to finish it, yeah.
So, yeah, but then so we do have the pilot. And I know like one day things are going to go away. But I did tell her about you guys, because, you know, if maybe we could do something to film it.
Definitely, yeah.
Mockumentaries are fun. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, mockumentaries are great. Yeah.
you pitch it, and you know, let's see what happens. But
yeah.
But that's something too that, you know, we'll talk about.
All right.
That'd be cool. That would be super cool. Yeah. And so for me, it's like, yeah, you know, like these days, I don't think one person can call themselves, you know, I'm a filmmaker, I'm an artist, I'm an actor, I think more so today, every one of us in creative field, we have to wear more than one hat, you know.
We have to constantly keep evolving.
You know, like as just as the tools and the things we use are changing rapidly, the person behind all those things also need to change rapidly and move with the time.
And it's economical, you know. Sometimes you don't always have the finances to pay everyone for every position and things like that, you know. You just have to, you know.
But I also from experience, it helps when you pay to get everybody who's good at what they're doing.
So. Oh yeah, it makes life so much easier. It makes life so much easier.
Even because, you know, when you asked me, of course I was like, well, yeah, you know, and I didn't know there would be pay, because there's somebody who's just, you know, trying to get into show business and stuff. I'm like, all right, cool, you know, and I was like, oh, we're getting paid, and I remember, like, I even wanted to like help, you know, because I'm used to breaking down furniture and all that. So I was like, no, you're the actor. but that's the thing too, like sometimes you just want, you know, be seen, and you know, but then you got some people that first question,
how much am I getting paid? Yeah,
and it's like, yeah, don't you just want to be seen? And
yeah, we come across and we definitely have, I mean, we're not like big production company or anything like that, but we respect people's talents and their time. And that, you know, it's a lot of effort that goes into it. So it's,
and we've been there.
You know, it's, I mean, you put a lot of time and effort and stuff, and it can get frustrating to not be compensated. So even though it's not
huge big
money,
yeah,
it's just to show you, like, you know,
we do appreciate
you guys. You guys are talented. And you know, that's your trajectory, that you're going to get paid. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Thank you. I mean, you did buy his pizza, but I'm saying, like, you would be like, hey, listen, I want to film this because this is what I want to do, and I want to pitch it in Netflix, whatever, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, oh, that's cool. You know, but that alone too, like, you know. I mean, for me,
we've all been there, and then I've many times I've done gigs where somebody goes, oh, no, man, I need you pro bono on this, but, you know, we promise you this, we promise you that. And, you know, like, sometimes it works, but a lot of times, no. And you, the worst thing is, I know that feeling of walking away after giving a lot of things yourself. And, you know, the very least is, you know, buy me dinner, you know. Buy me dinner, you know. So I know that feeling, and I respect everybody, not just the actors and the producers. Everybody on that set had something important to do, and without one of them, we couldn't do what we did. You know, that's that's one of the lovely things about filmmaking that I don't get when I'm painting. You know, I get a different high when I'm painting. This is a different way of bringing things up. But in one of the things I love about filmmaking is that you have this idea, you have this concept, you have all this vision, and then you have all these people around you helping you, and they make it work. You know, and together you're just like a symphony. You know, everybody's just like boom, 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 boom.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
There's a lot to be said for what you guys are saying about compensation and working, because while it's also like great when you can network and you can, I guess, co-work with people that are talented in different areas, and you can make something, I guess, I don't know, something small, really great and really big. But also, it's also important to know your worth and know what your talent is worth. But you also have to, you know, pitch in when you can for people and for projects that you think are important to you.
Yeah.
I think that's also very important.
Yeah, that's not easy to go to the bathroom with the mic hooked up.
But I believe in like, hey, I don't need to be compensated for something. Like I wouldn't, not that I wouldn't, but I feel like I would gladly volunteer for something that I believe in, or something that I,
that's a good job.
It's like doing a bar show too, comics. Like, you want to do my bar show? And people hear a bar show. But you never know who's going
to
be there.
But we were speaking to a coach on the last episode, Coach Corky Runs, shout out. And she's like, I've contributed to so many magazines, so many women's magazines, health magazines over the years, over 300 publications. She's gotten zero pay out of all these contributions. And she's like, you know, at some point I have to start realizing what my knowledge and my experience is worth.
Yeah, because you know, they're selling her name, they're using her name for something, you know, like if like they get something out of it, the very least is she needs to get something out of it too. I mean, it doesn't have to be a lot. Yeah, you know, it's and I think, you know, down the line you should also know your worth, you know,
and then like tax it, right? Like that quote.
Yeah, know your worth and tax it, but don't feel, you know, like because you guys, you are talented, you know. And that's not for nothing, you know, like, if there's something you believe in and you want to put your time to it and you want to do it for free, that's fine. But that's your choice. You know, it shouldn't be the person who sees your talent should not his first or her first impulse shouldn't be, oh, can you do this for free? That should not be. When you see that talent, you know, that person spent years enhancing that talent. You know, practicing, doing whatever. It doesn't matter where you are, which field you are in this world. You know, if you see someone sweeping the floor, but magnificently and beautifully, and everything is fantastic, that took years. You know, you can't say like, hey, you go sweep the floor for nothing. You know, like, no, that person deserves some kind of compensation. And I believe in that, you know, and know your worth, you know, like if you want to give it for free, that's your choice, but not the other way around.
A lot of times things that are worth something for you emotionally, or that just mean something to you are rewarding in more ways than just, you know.
Yeah, money's not much. Reward. Yeah, it's much more than money. I can see doing stuff for free. But when that conversation came of about, you know, budget, and I just we made a policy that we're going to pay our actors. It was basically because, you know, we just want to have good vibes and we want people to come back and have that good experience. Like when they hear Jamal and Adrian's name, they were like, that's good people. You want to work with them. You know what I mean?
And, exactly.
And also, you know, I kind of like just showing
she
up.
She would have done it for the pizza, by the way.
You know what? I think a lot of our actors didn't expect to get paid. But I think I like that policy just because, you know, I'm putting out there in the world because I want people to treat me the same way.
Exactly.
So I'm starting it. Like, I'm just putting it out there. Like, you work with me, you're gonna get compensated based on the budget, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, Jamal, I do wedding, I officiate ceremonies, weddings in New York. And I had a couple reach out to me. And this couple, for the last, I don't know how many years now, but when I met them, it had been 18 years. For the past 18 years, they go to a different city or a different country, and they renew their vows.
Wow.
And I heard about this. I'm like, I want to be part of this. I'm not even going to charge you. Like, I'll just show up. It's in Central Park. I'll be there. It's just a couple of minutes of my time. And I just thought it was so cool. And they tipped me more than I would have charged.
Wow.
Which was like so cool. And I was like, no, you don't need to pay me. Like, this is really cool. This is important to me. I want to be part of that. And it was so cool. I mean, I took the money, but but it was really cool.
She would have done that for pizza too.
I would, yeah. I mean, I was gonna do it for a pretzel. Although a New York City pretzel, a Central Park pretzel, nonetheless.
Central Park pretzel, yeah. Central
Park. Take parts now, by the way.
Wow! Yeah, Central Park's gone crazy.
Jamal, so what's new? What's going on for you? What are you planning? Anything new? Are you working on any projects other than what you mentioned before that you're looking forward to do?
Jay, you there? Did we lose Jay again?
What about you, Adrian? Other than the artwork, what are you working on?
My main project that I've been working on since COVID started, because...
So let's say you're into yoga or Pilates, or maybe you dabble in gymnastics like me. Either way, you know being flexible is key to doing what you love. That's why Smoothie King created this stretch and flex smoothie for people like us. With whole fruits and organic veggies, plus type 2 collagen, make it part of your daily fitness routine to support flexibility and joint health. So try the Stretch and Flex smoothie in tart cherry or pineapple kale. Order online today for pickup or delivery. Smoothie King, rule the day.
I'm doing a graphic novel on Patreon. One of my favorite themes and things that I really, you know, is history, especially history of, I'm originally from Malaysia. And that region is very, very old. I mean, like Malaya, the region can trace back to, you know, like 2000 plus BC, you know?
So the culinary there, the food, yeah,
culinary
Malaysian
food.
Meals.
So I did a story. My favorite period is the 15th century in that region, because it was really a golden age, a time of like 88 languages were spoken, people from all over the world, things were really happening, you know, because it's the middle of the crossroads between both east and west of the planet, right? So I'm doing a graphic novel set during that time. It's very historically correct. It's all about a flute player that travels the region and run into trouble or you know, meet people that needs help along the way. So it's a little bit of action, adventure, drama, with a backdrop of history, and mainly like the first story here is all about batik, and Malaysian batik goes back to like, I don't know, 1,000 years.
Wow.
So it's, and the process hasn't really changed much till today. So I really wanted to bring that to the forefront. So the whole adventure revolves around batik.
That's so cool.
So that's my main project. So like every week I do 3 uploads of something on Patreon. So people that follow me, they get to read a graphic novel, learn something about the region, learn something about the culture. And I do have stuff on food in there.
Please share the link so we can share it with our audience so we can follow and check it out.
Sure. Definitely. I'll email you the link.
I'm back. Sorry.
There you
yeah,
are.
Yeah, you disappeared.
So Adrian was telling us about his Patreon and what he's doing with Malaysian history and what he's writing about it. What are you working on the next couple of months? Are you looking forward to something past the election and past COVID?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Oh, well, well, you know, I actually did get inspired by like the energy and the vibe that COVID kind of created, and thought of this concept like a passion project for me. My mom passed earlier this year. And when I was in college, I had this documentary class, and I did it on her because I couldn't get anyone else to do it, to commit. So, you know, your mom is always going to be there for you. So I did it on her. It was terrible, you know, doing a project. And but after she passed, I started looking at it to, you know, just for that type of healing and stuff, and just to be close. And it helped a lot, and I got a lot out of it. So I was like, I think other people might enjoy something like this, you know, like like a personal documentaries about their family members, and not like home videos, but like a real deep dive documentary about their lives.
So, narrated.
Yeah. So a neighbor of mine who unfortunately has stage 4 cancer, wow. I approached her with the idea and kind of to leave like an heirloom for her family. And she jumped on it, you know, she loved the idea. So I shot it recently and I'm editing that. And I think I'm going to continue to kind of like create that as a product and see if, you know, there's a market for it, because it's something I would love to do.
Yeah. I think it's a great idea, seriously. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't want it to be cheesy. I want it to be like, you know, something that looks and feels like a documentary that could be on HBO or Netflix, but it's about your mom or, you know, your father, whatever. You know what I mean?
The people around us, our community.
Yeah, exactly. It could be about your family. It could be about a family incident, a family event, anything. But you build a story around a person, and it could be an heirloom for the family.
I tell you, once you get Morgan Freeman or James Earl Jones to marry.
That's exactly who I pictured. But people like to relate. You know, people I think enjoy, or I can appreciate being able to relate to somebody else's story. It makes us feel fond, or I don't know. I feel like it makes us feel good to be able to process other people's struggles and identify them, or being able to relate to them with our own struggles.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty cool. That kind of reminds me of like Stories of New York or People of New York. Is that what it is? Is it what is it called?
Humans of New York.
Humans of New York. That was a that started off as like a blog, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
And what is it now? Is it like a video element to it now?
No, I think there's a book. I think he published something.
Really? I gotta look into that. That's a while ago. Yeah.
I mean, I like your concept better because it's more in depth. You know, it's more in depth.
And it's like personal. Like, so it's not it's not something that would be released or anything like that. It's just like having like a
biography,
a wedding video, but you would have this is your personal thing. Like,
that's such a cool concept.
Yeah. So I just think it would be cool gifts to give people, you know.
You know,
sorry, Adrian, go ahead.
No. It was like, you know, the influencers are doing it now, so why not? You know, like those guys film every second of their lives, you know.
When I learned to appreciate the experience of my grandmother, or the things that she had been through like communist Dominican Republic, you know, and like the stories that she heard about the boats coming in from Holocaust survivors into the island, and like all these crazy stories about them hiding of fugitives in like their backyard, and the things that she'd been through. I mean, like all the crazy stories, right? And you only learn to appreciate stories like that from your grandparents once you're old enough. And I always wanted to get her, like even on my cell phone, like, hey, let's just talk about like, you know, some of this stuff. And we never got around to doing anything. And then she passed away, and we were trying to compile all these videos and pictures of her. And I was like, damn it, you know, why didn't I jump on that? Why didn't I make time for her?
Yeah.
And so I think this is a great thing that you're doing.
That's very important. Yeah.
Yeah. That's one of the things that I wanted to cover, is because like in my family, you know, they take things to the grave, you know, and I feel like people's stories, even their struggles, the stuff they don't want you to know, could really benefit the generations that come behind you. But they try to hold on to that stuff. So, you know what I mean? It's true. My family is—they're the worst with this. You know?
Sorry. I was just thinking about my own family, but no.
But it's true though. But so, and I just know as me, I'm going to tell my daughter is probably going to be the only person in the world to know absolutely everything about me, because I'm going to tell her anything she ever wants to know. I'm not going to lie. I'll lie now, but I won't lie once she's older. And I just think that's important for people to really get to know the people in their family for real. Yes. Not the versions they want to see you. Like my mom, my mom and my grandmother, they wanted me to see a version of them that wasn't always them. you know?
Yeah, we all do.
But we're growing up thinking you're the worst person in the world and you're the only person who's going through some of these things, but your whole family went through it because they don't talk, you know? They took all the stuff to the grave and all these experiences to the grave that we could have learned from. So I really...
It's funny how we got arrested. It's funny you mentioned that now, because one of the my things that I'm doing to, just to battle this depression, I'm going through all my old photos and my parents' old photos. I actually went back to Malaysia and took all their photos and their letters to each other and everything. I have postcards and all kinds of crazy things. I have pictures of my parents, you know, from they were like probably 5 years old. So, you know, which is kind of nice going through with that, going like, oh my God, your parents look human, or they look just as dumb as you did at 17, you know. You know, shit like that. but one of the, my favorite thing is that I found out, so my father went to school in the UK, and he decided to walk there. So it's in the early 60s. So he walked
to the UK from
Malaysia.
Oh, wow.
It took 2 years. He walked there. So he literally, on foot, took a boat across in places that's water. And when there's no water, he walked. So he walked all the way. I think he took from a boat to Southern India. Southern India, he walks all across Khyber Pass, through Turkey, through present-day France.
That's a huge commitment.
Wow. Yeah, so...
I told you this before, Adrian. That's a documentary within itself.
I'm looking at all these pictures of, like, you know, my dad looking like he hasn't showered in like a month, and, you know, in front of the Taj Mahal, things like that, and then all these crazy postcards to my mom, and you can tell the person who wrote this is super high. You know, it's like,
well, whoa. What year was it?
One of them was like in 1966. Yeah, you know,
sounds like, about right.
Yeah, he writes stuff like, you know, I'm standing in the field of poppies right just outside of, like, somewhere in Afghanistan. He said, that's it, we're building a house right here with all these poppies, this is heaven, you know. And like, and like, when I look at it, like this is definitely a poppy driven poppy opium high letter, you know, like, it's like, So I'm with you there. We need to know our history. We need to know our family, our people.
Yeah,
and, you know, it makes
you... from my grandmother.
Yeah.
That her dad sent to my grandmother, you know.
So things like that are important. It's important to get to know your parents, your grandparents. And, you know, it's fun, too. You know, you journey through this, through another person's shoes for a while.
Yeah, my uncle always did it in a humorous way, you know. And then my uncle, you know, just telling stories about, because I never met my mom's dad, so my grandfather was her stepfather. But my uncle would be like, yeah, he kicked me out of the car if I misbehaved, and they drove off. And then he was like, well, there I am 3 years later walking, you know, because he used to make it, you know, humorous. But, you know, so when we hear stories, it's all like, I'm like, damn, he kicked you out of the car. Mom's like, he went back for him.
Yeah,
was like, no, there I was, 12 years old, backpacking across, you know.
No, exactly. And I had to walk, like, got back 3 days later because he left me in the middle of nowhere. Yeah.
So I need to know. So he eventually made it to the UK.
He did.
And
he made it to the UK. He went to school. He got his degree in architect. My dad was an architect. And then when he went on the way home, he decided to live in Florence for a while.
But he didn't walk this time.
He walked all the way to Florence, and he was supposed to be there to study more architecture, but then he got to rabbit farming down in South Italy. So he and another friend start rearing rabbits in South Italy until my mom wrote back, like, are you coming back to marry me or not?
You know, did you say like robbing rabbits?
No, rearing rabbits, sorry.
Okay.
Rabbit farming? Are you serious?
Rabbit farming, yeah. Rabbit farming somewhere in
for
Italy.
Like fur, or like just for like.
Oh no!
For the meat.
Fun.
Okay.
Knowing my dad is, knowing my dad is probably the farming part. He didn't even care what happened to the rabbit. Like, you know, as long as we're farming rabbits, we're good. You know. So then he came
back.
And then he's
still around?
No, my dad passed away about, I would say about 10 years now. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, he wasn't a great father. I'll say that because my father left again. My parents left me when I was 10. At 10 o'clock, both of them decided, you know, when I was 10, both my family was like, nice knowing you, it was great.
People say treat yourself like you need a reason, but McDonald's treats are perfect for every day. Like bold McCafe iced coffee, get any size for $1.69, or pick up any size sweet tea for a dollar, the largest served in an insulated cup that keeps your tea cold. Feeling a little extra something-something? Try the classic bakery sweets like an apple fritter. With so many ways to treat yourself, you don't need an excuse. Just come back tomorrow. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
We gotta go for a walk.
We gotta go. You know, we're both going different directions. So, you know, here's a ticket. You're gonna see your grandmother in Virginia. Hey, you know. So my grandmother's in Virginia. So then I end up here in the States. I'm like, what the hell? So parents-wise, they were not great. But characters and friends, they're wonderful people. Yeah. they make great characters.
But I mean, I can imagine that it must have been also like a sacrifice to, you know, maybe a way of, I don't know, securing like a better future for you in the States, maybe, or
no,
okay.
No. I think if I've never left, looking at all my other family member, I would be very comfortable.
You'd be rich. You'd be rich.
Yeah. Gotcha. But then we wouldn't have Adrian. We wouldn't have the talented person here.
We
wouldn't
have
the common good.
We won't have common good.
Everything happens for a reason.
Yeah, I'm one of those. I do not look back, and I'm not. I don't. You know, for me, what's past is past. You learn from it. Whatever happens in your past makes what you are. So you can't go back and say like, oh, I hate that. No, you can't, because that's whatever you are now. That made you. You know. Good or bad, you gotta embrace that. So I won't change my past for anything, no matter all the good parts, all the bad parts. No difference for me. It's like,
that's a good way of looking at life.
Yeah, you know, all the comedy, all the artwork, all, you know, all the friends that we've made along the way. Come on, you can't change that. You know, that's Yeah.
This has been amazing. This has been more fun than I thought it would be. Because, you know, listen, I have to be, I'm always honest, right? You know, it's like, it's Thursday night. We've had an awful week waiting for election results, right? We're all tons.
Yes.
A lot of us are tons.
I am still tons.
I'm exhausted. I'm like, oh, I forgot we have to record tonight. And I was psyched when I saw you guys, a big smile, right? And then you don't know where conversations are going to lead you. I've spoken to a lot of interesting people, and it's just a wah, 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 you know, like at the end, like I get no material. But it's nice when you get to share something fond with, you know, people that you barely know.
Yeah.
Well, I've never spoken to you guys before, you have. But yeah. This is cool when you get to, you know, like an emotional roller coaster and learn things, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Thank you so much for the invite.
Thanks for having us.
That was really,
this is my first podcast interview, sort of. Yeah. Yeah, it is actually.
Yeah.
I've interviewed other people, but this is my first time ever wanted to talk to me.
Yeah, it's my I'll be honest, my second one, but the other one was all about comic books, so it's a whole different world.
I love it. I love being able to relate and share things. Everybody has a different story. I love sharing people's stories. Anything else you guys want to add?
Well, I guess to your audience, man, just hold tight and
stay safe.
Stay safe.
Stay sane.
The holidays. Enjoy the holidays the best you can safely, and you know, see you in 2021.
and I'll say this, you know, one thing 2020 have showed us that we are living in a different America right now, and it's something that something to think about how we proceed from here individually.
Who do we really want to be?
Who do we want to be? Because I think the line has been drawn on the sand quite clearly now.
Yes.
And it's up to us to individually and as a community, as people, to choose and to choose right, you know. So then, instead of, because it's never has been a time like this, and since you know, my 30 plus years living in this country, so
true.
So I will add all our did you want to add something?
Just follow Common Good Comedy.
I was getting there, honey. We'll add all the links to the show notes so you guys can follow them, find the patrons, find the amazing stories that Jamal wants to hopefully share with us.
If there's anybody rich out there who loves Common Good, we need funding.
We need funding.
We'll add the YouTube link to all the videos.
Oh, can I say my Instagram?
All of it. All of it. Send us everything.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, you can say it too. Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's Jam Swift Media. JAMSWIFT.
And we'll add the handle where you guys can just directly click it from the podcast and just go directly to Instagram.
Oh, good.
Cool.
Yeah, my Instagram is just my name. It's very simple. Adrian.Hashimi. Easiest Instagram handle. If you know my name. If you don't know my name, that is the worst Instagram handle. I don't know who he is. Then you don't know the Instagram handle.
Adrian.Hashimi.
I have like really three followers. I know, it was great. Thank you very much.
No, you don't. You have more than three followers. I follow you.
I don't have many. I have to get a little bit more active. I got to start posting on there.
You got to start posting.
I know. I say that every month. I say it never happens.
Yeah. I used to be better at posting. I'm kind of slowed down a little bit, but I'll post more. You
know? Yeah. We have a quote time on the show, and we call it the quote time. We have a very special jingle for it. You'll hear it now.
This is the quote time.
And it's the quote for the night will be, know your worth and tax it, right? I don't know who the author is, but it's just know your worth and tax it.
know your worth and tax it?
Yes. And tax it, yeah.
Know your worth, then tax it.
Then tax it. Interesting. Yeah. I never heard that one before.
Tax it.
Yeah, tax, like add tax to it.
Yeah.
New York State taxes.
New York State taxes.
I never heard that one.
You don't want North Bergen, New Jersey taxes. What is it? 3.8?
3.4?
Wow.
That's good. So,
until next time, guys, thank you so much for making time for us. Happy trails, everybody. Bye.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks, Jen.
Thanks for listening to the LGBT Chat. Don't forget to subscribe. And remember, the grass is always greener where you water it. Till next time.
Time to fire up the grill.
Time to go to Total Wine and find the perfect flavor to pair with those burgers.
Ooh, I love their beer cooler.
You love their prices even more.
Wondrous selection, helpful guides, ridiculously low prices. Total Wine and more.
All this week on NBC4, new products to new technology. Susan Hogan is showing you how local restaurants are changing the way we dine in and take out in this new world. Tonight at 6.
A new twist on outdoor eating.
A lot of it is creating flexibility.
How one local restaurant is making their outdoor space mobile, giving you plenty of sunshine and social distance for a stress-free meal.
It's all part of restaurant revitalization. Tonight at 6 on NBC4, working for you.